Amen. Oh, the deep, deep love of our Lord Jesus to each of us. Well, today, as we gather together, this is the day of unity of our ordinances, and we come to share that together. In just a few moments, we will come to the Lord's table. It unifies us in what we believe, and we will talk about that from the Scriptures. We will pass those elements, and if you're a saved individual, we would invite you to take that, hold it, and then take it all together, showing unity. Then the baptistry. We will come to the baptistry today. Some of you sit there, and you are going to go there. Some of you have come prepared for baptism. Others, you have not come prepared, but you know today is the day you ought to do it, and we're going to invite you to come and be baptized this very day. We've got everything you need, every garment, everything you would need in the back, and you will take that step this very morning and be ready to do that as we come together as the church, the people of God. Those two ordinances we come to lift up this day and see them preach to us. Unity is very important. We were playing golf this week. We had a get-together over at Marcus Point, and while we were there and we were playing, I came around and the golf cart lady was there, and she had water and Gatorade and other things, and she said, "Would you like something?" And I said, "Well, I think I would," and she pointed her finger. She said, "I know you." And then she phrased a question. She said, "Aren't you the minister of music at Olive Baptist Church?" It's a true story. And I replied, "Oh, no, ma'am." I said, "That's my twin brother. Some people get us confused when we... But we are one together in the Lord." Amen, we are. That's a true story. That lady, I don't think, had ever visited our church before, but well, maybe you're a guest like that sweet lady. We hope you'll find the guest registration card. They're there in front of you. Just pull one out and fill it out on both sides and place that in the offering plate. It'll be coming a little later in the service. One together, one together. We come out of various backgrounds, but Jesus makes us one. Amen? And as we come to the unity of the table and the unity of the baptistry, we find our gospel sharing this good news with us through these dramas. The gospel in drama, twofold. And so this morning, I want to take just a quick moment and share with you biblically about the Lord's Supper and about baptism. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23 and reading through verse 28, we find Paul speaking about the Lord's Supper. Notice what he said in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is also the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord. But a man must examine himself, so in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." The Lord's Supper, drama number one. It speaks as we handle it, as we take it, and as we look. This text says there are three looks that you should have with the Lord's Supper table. Number one, there is what I call the retrospective look. Do this in remembrance of me. In retrospect, look back, look back. Hear me, friend, in your mind, go back to Calvary, go back to the cross, see the broken body, see the blood come flowing down, see Jesus dying, hear Jesus saying, "It is finished." When you take this bread and you drink this cup, have a retrospective look. You're looking back to the cross. Secondly, there is a prospective look. Not looking back, but looking forward. "For you do this as often as you do to proclaim," verse 26 says, "the Lord's death until he comes." Oh, there's great prospect today. Jesus is coming. There's great prospect today. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. And when we come to this table, we look back to the cross. We look forward to the eastern sky. And Jesus comes again. There's a retrospective look back. There is a prospective look forward. But then there is an introspective look. Let a man examine himself. You should examine yourself this morning as you come to church on at least three areas. Number one, are you saved? Don't come to this table unless you're saved. But if you're saved, welcome to the table. Can you tell me that Jesus is your Savior? He is your Lord. That Jesus died for you, that you've called on his name. If you'll call on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. Secondly, not only should you examine yourself to see if you're saved today, you should examine yourself to see if you're clean. Is there known sin in your life? Is there rebellion within your soul? Do you hold a mean spirit, a bitter spirit toward another? I had email this morning from a gentleman speaking bitterness about others and just saying, "They did this to me, they did this to me." Well, dear friend, someone will do that to you, but this table causes you to have your hands and heart clean as you come before the Lord. Are you in Christ? Are you in the Spirit? That's your cleanliness. And then thirdly, I want to ask you this morning, since you were saved, have you been baptized? After you trusted Christ, have you ever obeyed the Lord with baptism? I'm going to challenge somebody here this morning to walk forward in just a few minutes, take my hand, and go back and get ready to be baptized and do it today. Today. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. You say, "Pastor, I didn't come prepared." We've prepared for you. We're ready for you pragmatically. If your heart is ready, you've said yes to Jesus, you want to follow him, and you want to take that step of baptism. So, "Pastor, I'd rather put it off." I want to encourage you. Act when Jesus speaks. I want you to take your Bible and go to one other passage of Scripture I want you to see with me this morning in Acts chapter 8. In Acts 8, I want you to see Philip. Philip is preaching the gospel. Look at this quickly with me. In Acts 8 and verse 26, look at this narrative. "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends to Jerusalem, to Gaza.'" That is a desert road. "And so he got up and he went there. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship." He just came as a seeker. He came because he was curious. He walked in, and now he's on the way home. "And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah." Evidently, they'd been giving out tracts up at Jerusalem. He had a scroll. He had an Old Testament. He had Isaiah, and he's sitting in his chariot. And whatever's pulling it is resting. And he's just contemplating and he's reading Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, "Go up and join his chariot." And Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading is this, from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and following. "And he said, 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth.
And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began from that scripture in Isaiah 53. He preached Jesus to him. Amen. And they went along the road and they came to some water. And the eunuch said with two exclamation points, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but he went on his way, say that word, rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Philip is minding his own business. The Spirit of God sends him down to this road. And when he gets there, he meets a guy that's just been to church, and he's confused, and he's reading Isaiah. And he says, come up and tell me, what am I reading? Is he speaking about himself or another? And he says, yes, this is Jesus. And what is it Jesus did? He was led as a lamb to its shears, as a lamb to the slaughter. And he didn't open his mouth, but he went there in humiliation, and he died for you. And if you'd believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And the eunuch said, I believe. And he said, giddy up. They came down, they found water. And he said, well, hey, preacher. There's water here. Enough for me to be baptized. What prevents me? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot. Both of them got out and walked down into the water. They didn't get a bucket. They didn't get a bowl. They waded in it. He baptized him by immersion, the Bible way of baptism. What in the world do we find in this text? Three quick things. Just hear this. One, two, three. And then I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, walk right here and take the pastor by the hand and say, I'm ready to be baptized today. And when you are baptized, we'll take you back. We'll give you some explanation. We'll encourage you. There are men that are waiting and ladies that are waiting back there for you. Say, well, pastor, I'll miss the Lord's Supper. We're going to give you the Lord's Supper as soon as you're baptized. See, you ought to be baptized first, then you take the Lord's Supper. You baptize, you make your confession, then you come to the Lord's table to remember. We'll do the Lord's Supper for you in the back. We'll do that right there for you. You're not going to miss anything today, but you need to take that step. What does this teach us? There's three things there. Number one is the gospel message. The gospel message is this. Jesus did die for you. He went to the cross for you. There. He suffered. He bled. He died. That is the gospel. The gospel is a person. The person is Jesus Christ. Not only is there the gospel message, there is the gospel response. This man, the Ethiopian eunuch, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night, I was on Twitter. I follow Twitter, especially on Saturday when sports are on. I like to hear fools talk about sports. And so people put things, and it's funny, and the draft was on, and all the NFL was going on. And then my friend, Dr. Al Mohler, who is president of Southern Seminary, most people say the smartest Southern Baptist alive today. Al knows very little about sport, and he readily admits that. And he was on a plane going to Missouri where he's preaching this morning, and he wound up sitting right behind Daryl Strawberry. He had no idea who Daryl Strawberry was. He thought he was in the fruit business. But he put on Twitter, he said, I've been by Daryl Strawberry, and the guy with me knew who he was, and we began to talk, and it was a joy to meet him. And so I direct messaged Dr. Mohler, and I said, Al, one of my former staff members discipled Daryl Strawberry when he was in rehab for his drug and alcohol problem. Eddie Ashari was a huge baseball fan. And even though Strawberry played for the Mets, and Eddie was a diehard Yankee fan, he said, by the grace of God, I will tell you of Jesus. And while Strawberry was in rehab, Eddie spent time with him sharing the gospel and how to walk. I got a tweet back from Al, and Dr. Mohler said, well, we didn't discuss his theology very much, but he was ready to tell me about Jesus being his Savior. I don't know where Daryl Strawberry is today, but I know this. Eddie shared the gospel, and Daryl made a response. I don't know who you are today, but I'm telling you, if God can save Daryl Strawberry, he can save you.
And if you will say yes to Jesus, I'm telling you, the first thing you do is cry out to him. The next step of obedience is when you walk into this water and you are lured into the water. And there we see the third thing in this text is the gospel picture. It pictures something. When we lower you into the water and you are placed under the water, you are saying that Jesus died for me and I die to myself. I am buried with Christ and we will place you there. Now, we won't say all that while you're under the water. You're just under that long, and then you're raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism, what a beautiful picture that it is of the gospel. It's the gospel in drama, and we lower you in the water, then we raise you to go walk in newness of life. You've believed. Now here's my question. Have you been baptized since you believed? If you've never been baptized since you believed, then when we begin to sing this next song, I'm going to invite you to walk right here to the front. And I'm going to invite you to take my hand and stand right here with me. And then we're going to get ready for baptism. And you'll go back to where some of our folks are there waiting for you. We'll take the Lord's Supper. Then we're going to baptize you right after the Lord's Supper. We're going to celebrate the two ordinances today. Have you believed? Baptism does not save you. Don't come thinking you're getting Christ. You cry out unto the Lord and he saves you. And after that, you're baptized. Baptism, beautiful picture. I'll never forget as a little boy, I was 10 years old and walked down into that rusty tank in Pisgah, Alabama in that church. I was scared. It was a scary thing walking in front of all those people. I've been in those country churches where you move the pulpit right there where Brother Leo's standing, and then you open up a big trap door, and the baptistry's right under the pulpit. All those country churches do it that way. And they have a screen on a wire comes across, and you go behind that, and if the Lord's faithful, it stays up while you're changing. And all kind of things happen with baptism. I'm telling you, we've heard all kinds of stories. I baptized a 6'6 guy over in the old building one time, and we tell everybody not to wear socks because it's slick, and he did, and he had on red socks, and I baptized him. Both feet came out of the water, and it was like two red flags waving up out of that water. And boy, the people thundered, amen, and then they laughed at me. But I'm here to tell you, we'll take great care of you. We want you to walk in obedience. Can you get the picture? Jesus walked down into the water with John, and Jesus was buried in that water. Philip walked down in that water with the eunuch, and he was buried. That's the way you ought to be baptized. You ought to be baptized the way Jesus was baptized. And if you've never done that, I want to encourage you that. Now, some of you are going to say, now, preacher, I'm going to come down there, and I'm coming, but I'm telling you, I don't know if I can do it this morning, but can I do it tonight? Yeah, you could do it tonight. But I tell you, it'd be a great thing if you just did it today. So, well, I'd rather my family come and I do it next week. Yes, sir, you can do it next week. But I want you to come and I want you to make that commitment today and be ready. We're going to sing three stanzas of an invitation hymn. And we're going to wait on you to come. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, I'm here today and I'm saved and I'm baptized. I'd like to join the church. Can I move my membership? Yes, sir, you can come. You can do that right now if you'd like to link your life with our church. This is the invitation up front in the service. We're a long way from being done. But it's God's call to your heart today. You're coming. You're coming, you're coming. Moving your membership, but I'm coming for baptism. Today, Pastor, is my day. I want to do it. I want to do it. I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, we'll stand. And when we stand, we'll sing. And when we sing, you step out and you come. Father, have your way in this invitation. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for it. Press it to our heart and give people courage to respond even this morning to say yes unto you. In Jesus' name we pray and we believe. Amen.